Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Coming up this week, well, later, obviously on Saturday, it's the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. And, well, let's carry on the tradition. Mr. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire, will be joining us, as well as a plethora of managers hoping to make it through to the first round proper of this season's FA Cup, as we'll be joined by the management, Buxton, Marine, Marsh United, Pontefract Coles, Stamford and Morpeth Town. But before that, joining me now down the other end of the line, we should be joined by social media officer from the Northern Premier League. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Good evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So, yes, FA Cup on the agenda for this week's show. And later, we'll also be previewing the matches on Saturday in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. But James is here for a bit of a results roundup from the last 7 days or so in the Northern Premier League. And we'll start with the top of the table. This weekend, it's a big game, isn't it? Matlock taking on South Shields. And both teams have recovered from what can only be described as a mini wobble. One defeat and suddenly that's a wobble. But on Saturday, Atherton Coles beat Matlock Town by 2-1. South Shields were beaten at home by Basford United by 1-0. But as I said there, it was only a slight wobble. Both teams bounced back on Tuesday. Matlock beating Grantham Town by 3-1. South Shields beating Morpeth Town by 2-0. So one step back, one step forward for the top two this past week, James.
Yeah, bit of a weird week for the top three, top four, because Buxton, obviously we'll come to Buxton in a second, because they didn't necessarily have it easy themselves during last week. First one with Matlock Town, the comment has got to go to Avon Corby. It's two great results this week for them. It's a late penalty that won it. Everton are the side to watch this season, and I think a lot of the top five, top six need to watch out when they're playing at this moment in time. Similar with Basford, who beat South Shields on a Saturday.
Let's talk about the week Buxton have had. They beat Basford, and before that, they beat Radcliffe. So
the unbeaten side in the league at this moment in time. Late scramble for a 90th minute winner there. That got the win. We got brought back into it with two great free kicks. Again, Basford as well pushed him a little bit. He got a bit more comfortable towards the end, but scored 6 goals and one of the top goal scorers in the league at the moment. Great result against Basford anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Buxton still unbeaten and two games in hand as well as they sit third in the table. 7 points off top spots and their rivals, Matlock Town. But like I said, two games in hand. It's been a good week for Buxton. Right, let's talk about Bamber Bridge. We mentioned Bamber Bridge's results midweek against Atherton Coles. They did beat Grantham, though, at the South Stephens Stadium 2-1 on Saturday afternoon. So an okay-ish week for Bamber Bridge. An okay-ish week as well for Whitby Town. They were beaten on Saturday by Witton Albion, who've been the real movers. 1-0 for Witton Albion at the Turnbull Ground on Saturday. Whitby did bounce back, though, in the Yorkshire Coast Derby on Tuesday night by beating Scarborough Athletic by 3-0. So an okay week for Whitby as well. But Witton Albion, James, they're the big movers, aren't they? Following up that Saturday win with another win on Tuesday, 1-0 against Ashton United. In the blink of an eye, Witton Albion are now 14th.
Yeah, great move up the table as well. They've made the most of that little bit of a midfield pack who are starting to drop points.
I feel like I should get Carl McCauley on, but we're focusing on the FA Cup this week. But he's done a cracking job, Carl McCauley. Just wanted to say that. And ordinarily, I would get him on the show. But we're pushed for time this week. But he's done a cracking job, hasn't he? So Witton Albion up to 14th. Warrington Town, they've had a good week. In an ordinary week, I definitely would be getting Paul Carden on the show. Warrington Town, a 3-0 win over Stalybridge Celtic on Saturday afternoon. Given Stalybridge's recent form, that is a phenomenal result for Warrington. And Warrington drawing 1-1 with Nantwich, who've been very difficult to beat in the last couple of weeks or so. So a good week for Warrington. A really good week for Lancaster City. And again, Mark Fell, if you're listening, if we weren't pushed for time, I definitely would get you on this week. It's got nothing to do with the fact you beat FC United on Tuesday. Just throwing it out there. But yeah, good win on Tuesday night, beating FC United 1-0. And another 1-0 on Saturday by beating Hyde United at Ewan Fields. So Lancaster City, they're up to 7th now, James. 3 points from the playoffs.
And obviously recovering from the 3-game losing streak at this moment in time as well. Tom Kilkin with a great goal as well against Hyde United from the weekend too. I mean, next Saturday is going to be a big test for him as well, because we've got Matlock visiting him next.
Basford United also on 22 points, 3 points from the playoffs. Stalybridge Celtic, they're currently sitting ninth, but they only played one game this past week, and we've already mentioned it, the defeat against Warrington. So Stalybridge looking to bounce back this weekend. They're playing Bamber Bridge, aren't they? Yes, Bamber Bridge this weekend for Stalybridge. So Simon Howard's side looking to bounce back, but a tough game that one against Bamber Bridge. Let's go to the team currently sitting 11th. That's Atherton Colds. We've already mentioned them. Brad Cook doing a sterling job, and 11th. Played 11, only conceded 11. It's going all right, isn't it, Atherton Colds? Nantwich Town, they're currently sitting in 12th position. A 1-1 draw for them on Tuesday night against Warrington, as we mentioned. That was a follow-up to a 2-0 win over FC United on Saturday at Broadhurst Park. So, after a bit of sluggish form from Nantwich, they're now four games unbeaten in the league.
Say nice and steady, and they're just picking up points where they can do. The next couple of weeks, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
So Nantwich Town are in 12th position, 7 points from the playoffs. Scarborough Athletic are also 7 points from the playoffs. They were beaten midweek, and it's a big defeat, isn't it, against the local rivals. But we do have to mention the fact that Scarborough Athletic did win on Saturday, beating Stafford Rangers at Marston Road by 3-1. We mentioned Witton Albion. They've moved up the places in the past week. FC United have dropped down to 15th. Gainsborough Trinity, they're in 16th. A 1-0 draw for Gainsborough Trinity over Ashton United on Saturday. Gainsborough Trinity now, James, are 5 games unbeaten. It's going pretty well, isn't it?
Yeah, they've started. North Holman started to become a bit of a fortress for me, because it's 6 unbeaten at this moment in time.
Let's talk about Radcliffe and throwing Hyde into the mix as well. Obviously, on Saturday, Radcliffe, as we mentioned earlier, they were beaten by Buxton. But as James rightly said, Buxton got the winner pretty much in added time, didn't they? So Radcliffe showing a bit of life there in the post-Lee Fowler era. They certainly showed life on Tuesday by beating Hyde United by 3-1. That's 2 defeats for Hyde United, incidentally, after the Lancaster defeat on Saturday. Decent week for Radcliffe, showing a bit of determination there.
Radcliffe were playing a lot more defensively than usual. And that's what realistically won the game, playing that little bit of a counting football, stopping Hyde from making the crosses forward to try and make that impact.
We're going to be joined shortly by Craig Lynch, caretaker manager at Morpeth Town. Morpeth have been on a great run, apart from the South Shields defeat midweek, which you'd argue at Mariners Park is a bit of a hide into nothing. Morpeth have been in great form. Morpeth, a 4-0 win over Micklover in Derbyshire on Saturday afternoon. Micklover needed a result, I feel, midweek. They kind of got one at Stafford Rangers, a 0-0 against a tough team.
Yeah, it is indeed. And again, Stafford are quite a tough side at this moment in time. But the main problem Micklover have got is they're not scoring goals. They've only scored one in the last 6 games now.
Still plenty of twists and turns to go this season. Just before we talk about the FA Cup with Andrew Simpson, just to talk about the FA Trophy, loads of results from last weekend. I'm going to quickly go through these. Big congratulations to Marine. Commiserations to 1874 Northwich. 1-1 it finished in the FA Trophy second qualifying round on Saturday. Marine winning 4-1 on penalties. Bedford Town beat Cambridge City. Never going to mention that result again. Commiserations to Cambridge City. 3-3 between Bridlington Town and Sheffield FC in a bit of a Yorkshire derby. Bridlington, though, winning 5-4 on penalties. What a last 10 minutes that was in that game, by the way. Sheffield scoring what they probably thought was the winner with 8 minutes left. Leon Dawson scoring in the last minute to get an equaliser for Bridlington. 3-3. Bridlington win 5-4 on penalties. Congratulations to Wishbeach Town. 2-0 win at Bury Town. Carlton 1, Bedworth United 1. Carlton Town winning 5-4 on penalties. So commiserations to Bedworth. Congratulations to Carlton. Chase Town 0, Hills Owen Town 0. That was one of the big games. One of the ties of the round in the second qualifying round of the FA Trophy. And Chase Town won it in the end on penalties 4-2. Cone beat City of Liverpool away from home by 1-0. So congratulations to Cone. Congratulations to Shildon as well. They beat Cleethorpes Town 2-0 in Lincolnshire. Good result that one for Shildon. Clitheroe 1, Liversidge 1. What a penalty shootout. Liversidge winning 10-9 on penalties. So
I was going to say as well, a quick shout out to striker Joel Walton for Liverpool. He was in the net for the entirety of that game because he had injury issues.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What a penalty shootout as well. Coleshill Town 2, Newcastle Town 3. So, Newcastle going through to the next round. Also going through, Corby Town, they beat Histon 5-3. Daventry 0, Ilkeston 0. Ilkeston Town winning 4-1 on penalties. Kendal Town 0, Yorkshire Amateur 3. So, Yorkshire Amateur through to the next round of the FA Trophy. Kidsgrove Athletic 4, Evesham United 1. So Kidsgrove comfortably through. Lincoln United 0, Sutton Coldfield Town 3. Sutton Coldfield there scoring 2 goals in the last couple of minutes in that game. Loughborough Dynamo 3, Sporting Kowsar 6. Very Kevin Keegan-esque that game, wasn't it? Sporting Kowsar through to the next round. Market Drayton Town 0, Leek Town 7. Tim Grice there scoring 5 goals for the Staffordshire side. So congratulations to Leek Town. Marsh United 3-0 win over Glossop North End. So Marsh's great run continues. Mosley a 3-1 win over Ossett United. Pickering 2, Ramsbottom United 1. So Pickering through. Good result that for Pickering Town.
It is indeed. I don't think many people would have saw that, but a great strike from Cater to win the game as well there.
Yeah, well done. Prescott Cables 0, Frickley Athletic 2. Brad Wells scoring 2 goals for the Yorkshire side. Soham Town Rangers 1, Shepshed Dynamo 0. So Soham Town Rangers through. Sam Mulready, so they're scoring with 3 minutes left of that game. Soham Town Rangers through to the next round. Spalding United 3, Belper Town 2. Proper game of football there, wasn't it, Spalding? Congratulations to Spalding. Commiserations to Belper. Widnes beat Stocksbridge Park Steels 2-0 away from home. Great result that for Widnes. Tadcaster Albion 1, Runcorn Linnets 5. Runcorn Linnets through to the next round where they'll be taking on... Come on, James. Tie them out.
I know it. FC United.
FC United, that's right. Chafford 1, Bootle 1. Bootle progress in the FA Trophy after a 3-1 penalty shootout win versus Chafford. So commiserations to Trafford, congratulations to Bootle. 0-0 between Warrington Rylands and Hebburn Town. Hebburn Town winning 3-2 on penalties. Those two have had some right ding-dongs in the last few years, haven't they?
I was going to say that's like the little Super Cup result from the FA Vars.
Great result for Dunstan. Workington 0, Dunstan 1. Dunstan through to the next round. And Yaxley are also through, beating Biggleswade by 2-0. And that's it. There we go. Incidentally, for all the details of the third qualifying round draw of the FA Trophy, head over to the mpl.co.uk. James, big weekend to come. Where can people follow it all on social media?
So, facebook.com/Northern Premier League, Twitter at Northern Premier League, the league website, mpl.co.uk, TikTok, Instagram. All 6 FA Cup games, I think, are on the BBC because we're all against National League opponents. Millions of radio stations that are covering the footage. Wherever it is, social media, we'll be following it this weekend.
A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week, but it's now time to draw a line under the league for now and look to the future. And joining me now, hand in hand, to gaze at the future, it's Mr. Future himself, non-league journalist from Cheshire. It's Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm all good. We are going to return to the league at the end of the show when we'll talk about the league fixtures because there's a fair few this weekend. But we really have to jump straight in, don't we, and talk about the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. We've got 6 clubs in the fourth qualifying round and we'll be hearing from all the managers over the course of the next half an hour or so. Let's start alphabetically and let's just jump straight in with Kettering Town against Buxton. Gary Hayward joining us shortly. Simo, Kettering are doing pretty well in the division above, but so are Buxton in our league. So what do you think?
Buxton are doing more than very well, I would argue. They're still unbeaten this season. And if you add together the games they've played in all competitions, that's now up to 17, which is pretty remarkable. They've also had a really nice run of form going into this weekend as well. They've won their past 4 matches in all competitions, and they've racked up 16 goals along the way. So they're chugging along quite nicely going into the weekend. Obviously, they are playing higher ranked opposition, and you're quite right. Kettering have had a reasonably solid start to the season. They sit 8th in the National League North. They've not won any of the past 4 games at home, so it's been a little up and down. And also, Kettering have needed a replay to win both of their FA Cup ties so far against Spalding United and then Leamington last time out. Buxton have had an altogether slightly more serene path to the fourth qualifying round, including that six-goal hammering of City and Liverpool last time out. We tried to cue that up as a potential upset. Not without reason, because City and Liverpool have eliminated Fars and Celtic, haven't they? But Buxton made a bit of a mockery of that. They also will be extra motivation for the Bucks this weekend, because I didn't realise this, but they've not played in the FA Cup first round since the 1962-63 season. So even though their kind of main objective this season is almost certainly to get promoted to the National League North, what an incentive to get through to the first round to end that wait to reach that stage of the competition.
Well, let's say now from Buxton, and on Thursday I caught up with their manager, so welcome back to the show, to Gary Hayward. Big thank you for joining us, and before we get to this big match this weekend in the fourth qualifying round, let's talk about the third qualifying round. Huge banana skin at City Liverpool, but really safely navigating through. Quite an afternoon.
Yeah, obviously City Liverpool beat us last year in the trophy, so we knew there was not going to be no easy game, so we went there and was very professional. The pitch was very good. And, you know, we played very well on the day and got the win.
We mentioned on the show, I think it was the monthly show last week, about what we said on the show before that about goal scoring. That's gone out the window now. You're scoring quite freely. That must be nice.
Yeah. Well, Ben, I listened to the show quite a lot, as you can imagine. And Simo said, Buxton, they've had a few draws. They need to score a few goals. Next day, straight on the training ground, got that sorted. You know what I mean? Changed it around a little bit, and the rest is history. Now we're scoring freely again.
So the FA Cup draw takes place on the Monday after that City Liverpool win, and you get Kettering away. And Kettering have had a good start to the season in the division above. Without giving too much away, what do you know about them?
Well, to be fair, the managers like my mates, and I know for a fact they're going to be really well organised. That's one thing about Paul Cox and John Ramshaw's team. They're going to be well organised, well drilled. You know what I mean? End of the day, they're a tough nut to crack, certainly down there, because there'll be a lot of supporters down there egging them on. And like you say, they've had a really good start to the season, and they've got some decent players. Obviously, Callum Powell, the winger, who we tried to sign. You know, they've got some good players, and It's not going to be an easy task, but we'll go and relish it and hopefully give our best for the club and obviously for the NPL.
And when it comes to the FA Cup and what it means to the club, because we're only one game away here from the first round. I know Buxton have been there in the past, but I mean, what does it all mean, this game and maybe getting through to the first round? What does it mean for the club and what you're trying to achieve for Buxton?
Well, speaking to the chairman, he said, they haven't been to the first round, I think he said, since he wasn't born, and neither was I. 1961. Yeah, that's it, 1961. So to get to the first round proper is, obviously, it's a chairman's dream. That's, you know what I mean? End of the day, our thoughts were on the league, but now it turns on Saturday to the FA Cup. If we could get the first round proper, which is not going to be no easy fate against Kettering, we know that, but if we did manage to do it, then it'd be brilliant for the town, give the town something to come out and, you know what I mean, and enjoy with us if we can get a decent first round tie. And who knows, if we get something that's half decent at home, we could maybe go in the next round, if we afford to get through the next one.
I was going to say, I mean, you have to go back to when my granddad was a little lad before, but Buxton have got to the third round, but it was in the early 50s, admittedly, but I mean, that's, it's transformative, isn't it? A cup run. We've seen it with Marine. It's just gives everyone a lift, not just at the club, but in the wider community.
Yeah, that's you know, that'd be good. You know what I mean? It'd be good. Like I said, it'd be great for the town. It'd be great for the chairman if we could get in there, because he'd like to get there. Well, great for me. Great for my management team. Great for everyone at the club. If we could do that, then obviously I've been this far before. But I'd love to get to first round proper. It's what it's proper then, in my eyes. It's you're proper because a lot more big boys come in and things like that, isn't it? You know what I mean? And it's a great day for the club if we could do it.
And final question, Gary, just a mention, obviously, to get to the next round and start playing the big boys, as you put it. I mean, you have to get past Kettering first, who, in non-league world, they are big boys, aren't they? So what's your message to the travelling faithful? Because they're really important on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I think we've got a busload going down, which is good from Buxton. Just get behind us. Give us the cheer and support that we want. And, you know, we'll try our best on the day. Obviously, it's not going to be easy. We've got to be as professional as possible and, you know, give it our all. That's one thing we can all do. All I can say to the lads is come and support us, get on the bus. And basically, when we get down there, we'll try our very, very best to get through. And if we don't do it, then good luck. I wish Kettering all the best in the next round. I hope they get to the third round if we can't.
Gary Haywood, manager of Buxton, and Simo doesn't know this because he's not heard the interview, but Simo, you should be very proud about the goal-scoring record of Buxton, just to say.
I look forward to hearing that.
Buxton taking on Kettering this weekend away from home in the fourth qualifying round. Let's go to a home tie for an NPL team this weekend. Marine taking on Wrexham. Yes. Here we are again. It's going to be tough, though, to say the least.
It is going to be tough, and we need to just kind of be careful sometimes. I mean, obviously, entirely justifiably, we get very excited about Marine in knockout competitions because their record has been just ridiculous in the past couple of years under Neil Young. And on the subject of knockouts, I saw them last week progressing the FA Trophy, albeit after a penalty shootout against 1874 Norwich, and that set up a home game with South Shields for them to look forward to in that competition. So they really are loving it in cup competitions at the moment. In a broader context, Marine go into this game in really good form. They've won six of their past seven league games and have climbed to second in the West Division. And that includes a really comfortable 3-0 win against Kidsgrove in midweek. I think one of the concerns for Neil Young might be kind of, you know, they have had a few injury disruptions this season, particularly in the centre of defence, and two central defenders went off as a precaution against Northwich last weekend. Although I was happy to see that Dave Raven did start in midweek and Danny Shaw was among the subs. So I think hopefully they'll both feature this weekend against a Wrexham side whose season hasn't really kind of gathered any momentum just yet. They've had plenty of time to prepare for this game, by the way. They've not played since October the 5th. So a 10-day run-up to be ready for this one. I had a look at how they've done on the road in the National League this season. Again, it's a real mixed bag. They've lost the last two at Grimsby and Stockport. And then they were in the lead down at Aldershot, and then the heavens opened and that game was abandoned. So you're not quite sure what we're going to get from Wrexham, which might give Marine a little bit of hope. I think I've said this on previous shows, but I would reinforce what a brilliant run they have had already in this season's competition to knock out Workington, Dunstan, Warrington, and then an epic two-game encounter with Atherton Coles, and they got through in that one as well. So it is very much a free hit for them. As always, if you get to this stage, you do want to be in that first round draw. I would argue their best chance probably is at home. It's going to be probably a sellout on Saturday. So let's see if they can pull off what would be an almighty upset.
And I'm going to suggest as well, because we all saw it when Marine played Tottenham. I think you said the best executive box in non-league football. All those houses there with those superb patios. If you want Ryan Reynolds to come round, just... I'm sure he's related to Neil Reynolds somehow, so I'm sure we can get in touch and sort that out. But anyway, let's hear now from Neil Young, manager at Marine. I caught up with Neil on Thursday. What's the mood in the camp like heading into this big game against Wrexham this weekend?
Mood's really good. We trained last night. Obviously, we played Tuesday night. Games come and take them fast. Mood's really good. Results have been good. Performances generally have been good. And, you know, we've got another massive cup tie. You know, that's why you play football, to have these experiences and these memories.
We all know about the memories of previous years, but you're creating memories this season, that's for sure. I mean, let's talk about the third qualifying round. 0-0 at Atherton Coles, which is easier said than done, the way they're playing at the moment. But what about the replay? I mean, that must have been nerve-wracking, to say the least.
It was some game. I've got to give great credit to Atherton Coles. You know, they both games, it could have gone either way. I think, you know, we've gone 2-0 up by half time, probably could have made it 3 just before half time. He hit the crossbar, but they've come out second half, scored almost straight away. Then they've laid siege to our goal, if I'm honest, for 10 or 15 minutes. hit the post. Probably should have scored another one to equalise, but he didn't. And then scored an absolute worldie in, I think it was probably minute 91 or minute 92 to take it to extra time. And then we came back into the game and I thought we were better in the extra time. And then we've got a penalty, you know, last minute of extra time. James Balligan tucked it away, to, you know, to set up this game. But yeah, very exciting game. And, you know, I know the fans and supporters, you know, were really excited about how the result was in the game in general.
And then, as if there's not enough on your plate already, you've got the FA Trophy. That goes to penalties. So, at least you've got practice for nerve-wracking moments. And, I mean, what's your take on Wrexham this weekend and the challenge that they're going to be bringing?
Well, obviously, a National League side with massive ambition. You know, big change in the summer in terms of ownership. We've got, you know, lots of big plans and brought some real good players in. You know, no more so than Paul Mullen, who obviously the League Two Player of the Year and leading goal scorer last year. Ben Tozer, just to name a couple. You know, we know the size of the task, but we knew the size of the task when we played Colchester. You know, that these are the types of games for a club like ours that you play football for. You know, from a managerial perspective, it's the games that why you do the job. You know, to test yourself, different conundrums, different ways of playing. But we know how good Wrexham are, and you know they'll be well aware of what potential that we've got.
And with regards to, you know, what Marine have got, you're probably getting fed up of being asked this question because I know you've done a lot of interviews this week, but what would it mean to get through to the first round again? I mean, that would be phenomenal, wouldn't it, for the club? I mean, it's already phenomenal what's happened thus far.
I think you get a little bit greedy, if I'm honest, after last year and how, you know, how good it was and how it felt, you know, and you know, you get this far and you think, oh, hang on a minute, you know, can we do this again? Can we go that next step in terms of winning the next game? And it's exciting. You know, it's, as I said before, you know, football is about making memories for supporters, players, staff, committee members. That's what we're trying to do. And in the time I've been here, you know, we've managed to bring Salford City, who were top of the National League at the time, to our place in the fourth round qualifier. Obviously, Tottenham Hotspur and now Wrexham. So, you know, for the club at step eight, these are the sort of games that you want to be involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find a question, Neil. Obviously, I think the crowd's going to be pretty big tomorrow, isn't it, on Saturday. So what's your message to the Marine faithful as we head towards this game against Wrexham?
Like they have been all season. Our gates have been really good. Tomorrow, I'm being told it's going to be over the 2,000 mark. You know, our biggest crowd in over 30 years. You know, we've got to make it as difficult as we can for Wrexham on the pitch. And if they can make it as difficult as they can off the pitch by getting behind the team throughout, you know, that'll be the, you know, massive help to the players. It's a game of football and anything can happen.
Neil Young there, manager of Marine, speaking to me on Thursday. So Marine taking on Wrexham. Another team at step four in the NPL, not in the West though, but in the East. Marsh United taking on Gateshead. Carl Jarrett joining us in a second. Marsh, the step four, we have to remember the step four. We do have to remember that, don't we?
Yeah, so. I think, you know, just to interject here, we're previewing six FA Cup ties in this show and four of them feature step four sides. Yeah. So, you know, big hat tip to how they've done. And again, we amassed very similar kind of narratives to Marine. We have to be careful not to fall into the trap of kind of, you know, assuming they're going to cause another upset because it's absolutely brilliant what they've achieved just to reach this stage. Recent form, they had a really good league win. Remember the league, you know, Master picked up some points in the league in midweek. They beat Brighouse 4-1, but a klaxon for Brighouse, who scored against Mass, which is something that hasn't happened very often this season. In fact, they'd had 10 successive clean sheets before that Brighouse consolation in midweek, which is absolutely remarkable. Again, just to revisit a theme we've touched on with Mass previously this season, they've yet to concede a goal in the FA Cup. They've played five games, including obviously a replay against Chester in the previous round, and still haven't conceded a goal. They've racked up 20 goals at the other end of the field. I don't know whether they lose the element of surprise this weekend because they're playing another side from the northeast. That said, they've played South Shields in the second qualifying round, and that didn't seem to be a problem in dispatching them. Gateshead huffed and puffed to squeeze past Runcorn Linnets at the previous stage, though they did get the job done. They have had a very tidy start to the National League North season, to be fair. Only one defeat so far. A little bit of encouragement for Mask. They've not kept a clean sheet away from home yet, so that's one to keep an eye on. And obviously, as I just mentioned, Mask's free scoring form at the other end. This has already equaled their best run in the FA Cup, so a very much free hit territory for them as well. But of course, they'd love to make history and make this a run to the first round. And I think they might do it, you know.
Let's hear now from Marsh United. And on Thursday, I caught up with their manager. So welcome back to the show, to Carl Jarrett. Well, Carl, a big welcome back to the show. And before we get to talk about the fourth qualifying round against Gateshead, let's go back a couple of weeks. What a performance against Chester.
That night was, to be fair, was brilliant for us. Just on the pitch, was the lads done everything they possibly could on that night to win that game. They never stopped the full game. You know, we had a plan on the Saturday against them, and we didn't really need to change much on the Tuesday night in the replay away. So we just basically, we knew that they were going to have a lot of possession of the ball, so we just let them play in front of us, and then we just tried to hit them on the counter-attack, and the plan worked, basically, but the lads executed it really well on the pitch, which is very important that they take the roles in it. And, you know, I'm proud as punch of them to go there and win against a North Conference team away from home, you know, at a full-time club. So great results. Most probably one of my best ever since I've been the manager there.
Yeah, it's certainly up there. I mean, we could go back to the South Shields match. But, I mean, after the Saturday game, it's done then, isn't it, surely? From an independent, you know, looking in from a far observational point of view, there's two divisional gap. You go into the Diva Stadium, you've got no chance. But then to not just win, but to win like that, that's incredible.
I know. You know, the preparation, everything on that night as well, just it didn't lead up to anything. It just spelled trouble all over for me on the way. You know, the coach, fully booked with school runs and everything, didn't expect the replay, so we weren't booked in with them. We had to try and find a new coach, couldn't get a coach. We had to get a minibus. I had to let half go in cars, half on a minibus. The minibus never turned up on time. We didn't get the ground until 10 past 7. You know, lads didn't get out at quarter past, so we were kicking off at 7:45. Just very hard, and then I had injuries, lads missing, and I went with about 13, 14 lads. So for everything that happened, just was fantastic. I can't believe how much of a great result it was for what we had.
That's amazing. All that background as well. Let's talk about Gateshead then. I can't remember if I asked you the same question in the last round, but how important is home form in this game this weekend?
It's massive for us because everyone knows that, you know, we haven't been beat for over 2 years at home. And as you might know, it's a sellout as well, which becomes your 12th man with all the fans on your side. Everybody knows who comes to Mask, you know, if they've played on the pitch. The pitch is not fantastic. We know how to play it. We're very good at it. We know every little bump and every little divot that's in that pitch. But it's just something about us at home. We play really, really well. So it was very important that we got that home tie against someone. We knew we'd get someone big again. And it's no bigger occasion for us than Gateshead at the present minute. You know, they're playing really well. Can't take anything away from them. They've got good home form. The away form's not fantastic, but the full time again, you know, they're a good team, and Michael have them all set out really well, and it'll be a massive game for us.
And have you got the coach company lined up on Tuesday just in case? Because although Carl, have you stumbled across something here that actually works, and that is to get a late minibus and half the team travelling down by car.
Maybe that's the right way to do it.
But you mentioned the crowd there. I mean, how big is all this, do you feel, for the club? Because, you know, on this week's show, we've got Neil Young, and obviously they got to the third round for Marine last year.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all that often, but while you're in the spotlight, you've got to make the most of it as you can. And here, a sellout crowd, you know, beating Chester, beating South Shields on the way, great league form. It's going well for the club, isn't it, at the moment? And it's all about capitalising on that, not just for this season, but for future seasons as well.
Massively. I totally agree with what Marine done last year. You know, if we could go anywhere near what they did, it'd be dreamland, really, for a club the size of us. Everyone keeps forgetting that we're just a small fishing village with about 7,000 or 8,000 people population at Mask. So, you know, it's something that we'd only dream of, that, you know. But you are right. We've got a ticket why it's there, why everyone's talking about us at the present minute. And they're talking about us, and that's credit down to the club, everyone, all the volunteers, you know, the committee, everyone that works around in the place, and obviously the team, the management staff, you know. So we've all done this all together. So, you know, why we can get all this all these games in and everyone coming and watching us. Our attendances have gone massively up this year, and people like to come and see good football when teams are winning. We all know what fans are like at the time, you know, and we're proud of our team and obviously proud of all of the supporters that are coming and helping us out at the minute.
Well, Carl, I won't keep you. Just a final thought. The tickets are all sold out anyway, but make plenty of noise this weekend is what we're saying to the Mass supporters.
100%. You know, I know exactly what they'll be like. They've been fantastic, like I said, in the last, you know, 2 months since it started, and I can't fault them. And like I just said there, Colm, where I said the attendances have gone up tenfold, and we know yous are there. So, you know, on Saturday, if you can get behind these lads and try and let's make history.
Carl Jarrett, the manager of Mass United, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Next FA Cup match then in the fourth qualifying round. It's a good old-fashioned Yorkshire derby. Pontefract Collieries against FC Halifax Town. Simo, I'm going to ask this question to Craig Rouse in a second. It is their biggest game in their history, isn't it?
I think you have to say that. Yeah, definitely. You know, a recurring theme. You know, this is their best FA Cup run as well this season. They've had to win through four matches to get this far. It's already a brilliant run for them. I would say they're the biggest outsiders we're probably going to talk about on today's show. That's based a little bit on kind of reading how their season has unfolded so far. I mean, they lost 1-0 narrowly at home in midweek against Stocksbridge in the league. And that's been their only game actually since I was last on this show, when they dispatched Handsworth in very handsome style, didn't they, with a 6-goal win. That said, you'll see here lots of managers, I'm sure, say it. Form goes out the window when you're trying to predict an FA Cup game. Halifax, I mean, it really is one of the toughest draws that Pontefract could have got. They're currently third in the National League, so only two potential higher-ranked opponents for Pontefract could have come out of the hat. And the reason for that is that Halifax have strung together a nice 7-match unbeaten run in the National League and have kept a clean sheet in four of their past five games. So that's really ominous form that they bring into this one. It is another free hit. Claxon, just enjoy the day, Pontefract. You never know. But this would be the biggest upset of them all if they do get through, I would argue.
Well, stats are there to be broken. And this weekend, the man who will be breaking those stats is Pontefract Coles manager, Craig Rouse. And I caught up with Craig on Thursday. Well, Craig, a big welcome back to the show. And, well, here we are, not too far off. Is it safe to say this is the biggest game in Pontefract Coles' history?
Yeah, it keeps getting mentioned. People keep saying, is it the biggest game in history? I'm giving the same answer to everyone, really, that I think that's for the neutral sort of supporter that's supported the club for years to decide. But it's certainly the biggest game, I think, that I've been involved in, especially exposure-wise. We've had exposure from everywhere, and it seems to be that the excitement's building, and obviously we're heading towards a sell-out crowd. So, yeah, all good things.
Amazing stuff. And obviously it comes about after a phenomenal third qualifying round match against Handsworth. I mean, they were so good in the second qualifying round. To beat them and then to beat them 6-0, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think it was just one of them days, really, in football that you get. I think that sort of performance has been coming from us, and over the weeks building up to that, I felt like that sort of performance was coming. It was just unfortunate for Handsworth that obviously it happened to them, and they'd been on a brilliant cup run themselves, and sort of a local derby. So I think whoever lost that game, we're going to feel a little bit down in dumps, but obviously they can be proud of their run as well, and we were emphatic on that day and really clinical. So obviously a pleasing performance and glad to get through.
And I think we touched upon this in the last interview we did, and it was about you know, how good an FA Cup run is for bolstering the club and you know, increasing the attendances and that, and like you say, heading for a sellout. That's brilliant, isn't it? And just that's what the power of the FA Cup is, what it brings.
Yeah, we had what we thought were a really good crowd in against Handsworth. So the crowd were up towards 500 against Handsworth. And for us, that's a really good crowd. So we were obviously really pleased. And you could really feel the difference with the extra few hundred people in there. It really made a difference and sort of spurred the lads on. So now to be heading towards an attendance that's three times that, and looking up towards 1,500 people going to obviously be attending the game, it is going to be a massive occasion for everyone, but we don't want to sort of get lost in that. Obviously there's a lot of foray sort of surrounding the game, and we don't want to get lost in that and caught in the emotion too much. We've got a job to do on the pitch, and we want to make sure we give a good reflection of ourselves on the pitch.
And without giving too much away, how do you do that? Because I've seen National League sides come down to step four, and you know it's possible to create that upset. But how do you do it?
Just by doing what we do, trying to stick to our game plan. Obviously, we have to come up with a way of trying to nullify their threats while still posing some of our own. But the fact that we've got an home draw and we have a local crowd behind us and giving us that backing should give us a spurring on. And we have to make sure we come out the blocks quick, we start bright, and don't give ourselves a mountain to climb. And as you say, it's the magic of the FA Cup. Bigger shocks have happened, so we have to go and believe that we can cause an upset. And obviously, it's all right dreaming, but the actions have to match that.
And I remember, if I could just go back a few years, I remember speaking to Craig, the other Craig, you know, about promotion out of the Northern Counties East, and that was only a few years ago. And here we are. I mean, it's a phenomenal rise, isn't it, really, for the club? I mean, it's just, what's your final thoughts, Craig, as we head towards, you know, this big game this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, we've obviously done interviews in the past, and 5 years ago we were a North East Counties Division 1 side, having just been relegated. So to then back that up with back-to-back promotions and then a playoff final, and to now be in the final qualifying round of the FA Cup has been really a really good rise for the club. But these are the types of moments and the types of games we want to be involved in. We want to create more big days for the club. We want the club to continue growing, both on and off the pitch, both with the crowds and obviously the development on the pitch. So we have to make sure we obviously don't get too carried away in this. It's important to enjoy the day and make sure everybody enjoys the day, because the players have earned it, so they have to enjoy it. But they also have to enjoy it by doing what they do normally, which is playing well. And then at the end of it, we can do the reflecting afterwards, but we want to do ourselves justice on the day.
Craig Rouse there, manager Pontefract Coles. Pontefract Coles taking on Halifax Town on Saturday afternoon, the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. Two more ties to talk about. Firstly, Stockport County against Stamford. On paper, you'd go, well, it's Stockport County, isn't it? But then I've got Wrexham in the back of my mind.
And I think we should flag that. I mean, not only did Stamford knock Wrexham out in the 16-17 season, they actually won the replay away from home. So an extraordinary achievement and a precedent there for Stamford to look for. And you're right, normally all the pointers would be, you know, step one out to a step four side that County should get the job done. I'm a bit more convinced of that after Stockport have improved in the past 2 to 3 weeks. They've now won 4 of the past 5 games in the National League after a really slow start to the campaign. They didn't even win any of their first 3 league games at Esley Park, but have won the past 2. So are picking up momentum in the league, which takes them into this game. Stamford aren't in too bad form either, to be fair. They've only lost 1 of the past 5 games in all competitions. They've had a really good response to a disappointing FA Trophy exit against Daventry a couple of weeks ago. They've got some good results since then, including, of course, a win at the previous stage of the FA Cup. They're the only team left in the competition that started out in the extra preliminary round, by the way, which is extraordinary. So they've won 5 games to get this far and have banked just shy of 14 grand in prize money. So whatever happens, it's been a brilliant campaign for them. But, you know, they've beaten Telford away from home already this season. I think, you know, it's probably a slim chance, but because it's Stamford and because of what they've done in the past, I'm reluctant to call this as the biggest upset. You know, so Pontefract might be the biggest upset, and I do believe that. And that's because of praise I have for Stamford of what they've done previously. Well, you know, let's have it right. It would be a massive upset for them to get through.
Well, let's hear the mood now at the Zico. On Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Stamford. It's a welcome back to the show to Graham Drury. Graham, a big thank you for joining us. And here we are on the eve of the fourth qualifying round. Let's talk about the third qualifying round, though. We spoke a couple of weeks ago ahead of the Norwich United match. You said it was going to be tricky. Big banana skin. Just about did it. How was the afternoon?
Yeah, to be honest, Ben, we played really well and we created loads and loads of chances, and the keeper had an absolute world here. I mean, he said some right stuff and there was blocking stuff on the line, and they got the early goal and they sat him behind the ball. We hit the bar 3 times, we hit the post twice, and it looked like it wasn't going to go in. And, you know, we left it to the very last minute, got a penalty, and, you know, we got the just rewards, really.
So the draw happens on the Monday after and you get Stockport County Edgeley Park. I mean, what's your reaction to that draw? I mean, it's like that's a big tie for the club. Brilliant. Or did you want something a bit more simpler?
Well, you know, you really plan, you know, you really want to get to the first round proper, and this is going to make it really tough for us. But this game is like a first round proper game, isn't it? You know what I mean? I went to watch them Saturday because we didn't have a game, so I got on the train and went to watch it. You know, they're a fantastic side, you know what I mean? They should beat us 4-5, 6-0 if they play to the capabilities. But, you know, Stamford caused shocks. You know, we went to Wrexham and we thought, you know, drawing 0-0 was perhaps a chance gone, but we against all odds, we scored in extra time and won 3-2. And I'm confident there's no reason why we can't do another upset. You know, we're known for it. We're confident about what we do. And we're going to go there and give it a best shot.
And obviously, Stamford, been known for the odd cup run here or there. I mean, what does this mean for the club? For you know, what you're trying to achieve at the club and the mood amongst the fan base. And this is what it's all about, isn't it? Games like this, it just brings everyone together.
Oh, it does, mate. I mean, we're really looking forward to hopefully, you know, taking a big crowd, 505 at Hartlepool when we got there in the first round proper. I don't think we'll quite take that this to Edgeley Park, but, you know, we'll go in numbers. You know, we're all getting on that coach and travelling together and looking forward to it. It's one of them where, you know, it's a big game for the club. It's one of the biggest games because of the ground. I mean, the ground's fantastic now. You know, I mean, they've done a lot of work on there. And, you know, their crowd get right behind them. And, you know, behind that goal mouth where two-tier stand is, it makes them racket. You know, and we've got to try and match that with our little posse. So we're going to go there, mate. We're going to make some noise, I'm sure. And, you know, hopefully we can entertain and put a good show on and really make everybody enjoy the day out.
And Greg, final question. What would it mean at this point to get to the first round of the FA Cup, do you feel?
Well, you know, when we did it last time, you know, just having the press coming to the ground and meeting the kit man and, you know, walking around doing interviews and looking around little old Stamford and hitting the telly, you know, with a bit of news and getting on Match of the Day with the goals. You know, it means everything, doesn't it? I mean, it's proper non-league this is now, and just to get them recognition that you've done well is fantastic. I mean, I was really disappointed we didn't get the game on the TV, if I'm honest, because, you know, we're the only club left in the, you know, from the preliminary rounds. We've played 5 games, and, you know, when you look at the game, what is on the telly, they've only had to play 3 games to get there. So that was a little bit frustrating, being one of the lowest ranked clubs in it and obviously been in the competition longer than anybody else and having to win more games to get there. We just thought we might have got the TV, but it wasn't to be. So, you know, we've got to get one more and hopefully we get the TV next round.
I was going to say, the TV execs do listen to this show, Graeme, so here's hoping we can sort that out for the first round.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
just your final message to that those travelling hordes from Stamford who'll be going to Edgeley Park this weekend. Get down there and be as loud as you can.
Yeah, get down there, you know, as many as possible, make as much racket as they can. You know, I'm just pleased to be the manager that's, you know, got them another big game, you know, to look forward to, because I know how much it means to the fans. And these games are special. They come around once in a blue moon. And, you know, for our crowd, it's fantastic. For the Stamford fans that pay the money week in, week out, you know, they'll be travelling, they'll be putting the hand in the pocket. I mean, I was a bit frustrated that they knocked the price down to £6 and £1 for a concession, you know, because we get part of the gate, so we're going to lose out a bit there. But hopefully it'll attract a few, you know, from all over to think £6 for a 4-round tie and £1 for concessions. It's worth going to watch. And hopefully we can put a performance on that's worthy of that £6 and £1.
Graeme Drury there, manager of Stamford. Has he got a case, Simo, with regards to the TV choice? Because you mentioned it in the build-up to that interview there, that Stamford are the only team left who've been in every round so far.
Yeah.
To take on Stockport, I mean, it's...
They can probably count as a bit unlucky. I suspect it's just that, you know, people who make these decisions have looked at it and said, because it's at Edgeley Park, they back County to do it. But that might not, you know, they might not scrape below the surface and know about some of these brilliant knockout wins that Stamford have had away from home. So, their loss.
Well, as I said, I think I said it on air, I might have said it off air to Graeme. They can sort that out in the first round, can't they? But anyway, let's talk about the fourth qualifying round, the last match that we're going to be focusing on this week in the competition for the Pitching In NPL show. York City taking on Morpeth Town. Got Craig Lynch joining us as the second caretaker manager at Morpeth. I say caretaker manager, but he's done such a phenomenal job. And Morpeth, they're here. They're in the fourth qualifying round. Big game. What are the chances, do you think?
I think they've got a fair chance. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, we've mentioned York a couple of times on the show this season, and the reason being is they've taken on Hebburn Town and Whitby Town in previous rounds. And we tried to queue up, you know, York's kind of slow start to the season made them vulnerable. Though, to be fair to the Minstermen, they did a really professional job in both games and probably two of their better performances this season to knock out those two Northern Premier League teams. Very similar theme to Stockport. That sluggish start has been replaced a little bit with some momentum in the past few weeks. They've won five of their past six to move into the top 10 in the National League North. That said, they have lost three of their five league games at home, so still a little bit vulnerable in front of their own supporters. And Morpeth may sense that they can take advantage of that. I mean, you mentioned the impact of Craig Lynch, and one of the reasons that Morpeth haven't yet appointed a successor to Steve Turnbull is because of the really good job that he's done. That's reflected in that they went seven games unbeaten under him before that midweek defeat against South Shields, and no shame losing against South Shields. And that was, like I say, that was the first time they've been beaten since he took temporary charge. They've had a couple of really good wins in the FA Cup under him. They've knocked out Premier Division rivals Lancaster off the replay and then Radcliffe in the previous round. The reason I give Morpeth a bit of a shout here is that you usually can rely on them to score. And, you know, scoring goals has not been a problem for them this season, even when they have had a start that they wouldn't have anticipated. And again, before that game at Mariners Park, they'd scored in 13 successive games in all competitions. And that always gives you a bit of hope that you can get a goal and then maybe put that pressure on York. So I said to you off air, and I'll repeat it now, I've got a little feeling for Morpeth this weekend. I think they might do it. I think they might be one of the Northern Premier League teams that progress along with possibly Buxton, possibly Mask. But I do think Morpeth have got a great shout, and let's hope that they can do it. And what that might mean for Craig Lynch's future, we will find out. But I've got a good feeling for them.
Well, let's catch up with Craig Lynch now. I caught up with the caretaker manager at Morpeth Town on Thursday. Well, Craig, a big thank you for joining us. Well, before we get to the York match, which is huge this weekend in the fourth qualifying round, just a general catch-up, really. It's been a bit of a whirlwind month or so, hasn't it? I mean, how are you finding being caretaker manager at Morpeth?
Yeah, I think whirlwinds would be the word I would use as well, Ben. Yeah, to be honest, it came as a surprise. We weren't doing well, but obviously Stephen Turnbull, who was manager before me, I was his assistant, and he chose to resign through different reasons, obviously results being one of them. And I got asked to take over, so I don't know whether it would be a day, a game, two games, a couple of weeks, but it's been eight games, and when we've done well, we were seven unbeaten going into Tuesday night against South Shields, and it's a great buzz. I've loved it. Even Tuesday night was a great game. It was fantastic. We had a fantastic crowd, 2,000 there, and it's been really good. Really enjoyed it.
And you have steadied the ship. I think that's safe to say. I mean, you're getting good results on the board. South Shields away, it's a bit of a hiding to nothing. But before that, I mean, there's been some good results, hasn't there? Particularly in the FA Cup. I mean, what's been the main drive for you, and what's been the secret to steadying the ship?
I just think it was going. We've got some good players. Like, our league position, even when we were getting beat, we were scratching our heads thinking, what can we do differently? But I think when I've took over, I've just tried to go right back to basics. Don't overcomplicate it. We were conceding sloppy goals, so it was just about going back and speaking with the lads and just getting them the fundamentals of the game right. And we knew that if we did that and we could have a sloppy goals, we would start creating chances and we would score goals ourselves. And we've shown that. Going into Tuesday night at South Shields, we were missing players. I don't like... It's usually an excuse. Everyone says an excuse, but it's a fact. We had six or seven missing, and we'll still have a few missing on Saturday, but we'll hopefully have a few back. So we're going to Saturday confident on a high.
And without giving too much away, obviously Whitby went to York in the last round. So how do you become that banana skin for them?
Well, I know that they were watching us on Tuesday night, and we've been to have people watch them, and I know people from Hebburn who have played them, and the teams in the Conference North. So we've done our background on them. They would have done it on us, so we'll be hoping that what we have done, we'll be able to exploit their weaknesses and hopefully keep the strengths at bay.
And with regards to the future, Craig, if I can prod you on that side of things. I think it's safe to say, looking in from afar, you've done a pretty good job at Morpeth.
Yeah.
I mean, is this something that interests you now, managing? Because you're relatively young, aren't you, for this side of things? But you seem to be doing a good job and seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 29, but when I was a CM in the Northern League and I did my cruise ship there, I did it for the second time there, and I haven't called it retirement yet, but I'm 99% sure I probably won't play again. But I took over at CM at 25 in the Northern League, so I had about 10, 12 games at CM at the back end of the year, about 2016-17, so that stood us in good stead coming into Morpeth, because everything hasn't come at once, and I've been a bit starstruck with it. I've had that little bit of background with CM, so little bits where we've been missing players or the bad run of form coming into it, I've already experienced it in the past. So although I'm relatively young to management, I've had some good experiences. I've played professional. I've had some good managers, and hopefully I can just take little bits from them and give Morpeth, well, however long I'm going to be here for, the best chance of succeeding.
And a final question, Craig. Big game this weekend. What's your message to the travelling Morpeth fans who are going to York this weekend, hopefully looking for an upset?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I hope we get as many. I know that where we'll be sitting is behind the goal, so it'll be fantastic to see as many people there as possible and give the lads a real cheer, and hopefully that can drive us on. It'd be great at 5 o'clock for us going over and celebrating with them. But yeah, it means a lot for everyone travelling down, and I think for the run we've been on in South Shields on Tuesday night, that gives us a good warm-up game, playing in front of a big crowd. We know it's going to be that on York on Saturday, full-time team again. So hopefully 5 o'clock, we're in the draw on Monday. So that'd be brilliant.
Craig Lynch there, caretaker manager of Morpeth, speaking to me on Thursday. And big good luck to everyone in the FA Cup this weekend. Six ties involving NPL sides in the fourth qualifying round. And Simo, we'll do it all over again, shall we, in a couple of weeks' time, when we'll be previewing six more FA Cup ties in the first round proper.
That would be amazing.
But Simo, just before you go, because you're not done yet, this Saturday, there's a plethora of Northern Premier League, Premier Division matches. We'll motor through these as quickly as you'd like. However, I do feel like I have to start with the letter M this week.
Oh, yes.
Matlock Town against South Shields. It's a game you could see from space, probably. Seismic, what's your thought?
Well, let's go all Talksport and say this is the biggest game of the season.
That's right.
So far, I think that's an easy argument to win without upsetting too many other people, I would hope, in the top flight. I think in some ways, and I probably won't get thanked for this, I do think in some ways this is a bigger game for Matlock, because we've all kind of decided or know what South Shields' promotion or title-winning credentials are. And whilst we're starting to feel a lot more confident that we can add Matlock into that conversation, this is obviously going to be the sternest test of their credentials so far. And on every kind of metric you want to look at, it's just set up beautifully. I mean, Matlock have got a flawless record at home this season, won 7-7 in the Premier Division, racked up 20 goals in that time. But something that's slid past people's attention because of they've been doing so well at the other end is how solid they've been defensively. And they've kept four successive clean sheets down in front of their own supporters. And that could be really important this weekend against South Shields. Matlock had a good win in midweek at Grantham, and that was exactly the response that Paul Phillips would have wanted, because they obviously slipped to a disappointing reverse at Atherton Colts last weekend. And the theme of Matlock's campaign so far, when they have stumbled or when they have lost, they've always won the next game. So that will have been actually a more important win than maybe you would have thought on paper to go to Grantham and get the job done on Tuesday. South Shields, it's been a little bit of an up and down couple of weeks for them, and that's why their success in midweek to beat Morpeth 2-0 was a really important one, because they'd lost, of course, back-to-back games, including that defeat last Saturday against Baysford, and that followed a defeat against Bamber Bridge. So really important result for them as well, and to get back to scoring goals, because they've gone 3 games without one. So that tees that up nicely. We've talked on previous editions about how strong South Shields have been on the road this season, so that's in the mix here as well, one of the best away records in division. So it's just set up beautifully. Recent history is with South Shields as well. They've won their past 2 games down in Derbyshire, so that'll be on the minds of Matlock as well. But if you anywhere even resembling the vicinity of that this weekend, it's definitely the game to go to in the Premier Division. And that's saying something, because a couple of other games we're going to touch on also pit leading teams against each other.
And obviously Buxton, who are in FA Cup action, they'll be looking on at that, knowing that, that I think they've got a midweek game, haven't they, Buxton? But next week, they're playing South Shields. So, brilliant stuff. There's an opportunity for a couple of the teams on the outskirts or in and around the playoffs to play catch-up, because certainly at least one team will be dropping points above them this weekend. That takes us to Bamber Bridge and their match away at Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge, 4 points outside the playoffs. Bamber Bridge, a couple of points inside the playoffs. But they have been a bit, they had a bit of a stutter, didn't they, against Atherton after stringing some good results together, Bamber Bridge.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned about that if I was them, because, and we'll touch on Coles in a minute, Coles are in really good form at the moment. So it's certainly not a crushing defeat that. And like you say, they had racked up 3 wins in a row before that. Another reason to feel good if you're Bamber Bridge is they've been really good away from home this season. They've won 5 of their 7 away games. That said, they're going to the ground of one of the best home teams in the division this season, which is Stalybridge. And they've racked up 5 wins in front of their own supporters. In fact, only 2 teams, and that's the top 2 teams in the table, have won more points at home this season. So Stalybridge are in really good form at Bower Fold. So it just sets this one up really nicely, I think. And it overshadowed by the fact the top two are playing each other, because this will be one of the games of the weekend. Stalybridge are a very, very difficult kind of team to predict, because they've actually lost 8 league games. And I had a look at this before. Only 2 teams have lost more games, Hyde and Grantham, and yet they find themselves 9th in the table. So it's very much feast or famine for Bridge, but it tends to be feast when they're at home, so it might make them slight favourites.
Now, obviously, that's a big game. Matlock against South Shields, big game. Ordinarily, this next game would be game of the day, wouldn't it? Warrington Town against Whitby Town, 5th against 5th, travelling to 6th. 1 point separating them. Whitby Town do have a game in hand. Big game this one for Warrington because of that fact. They've got a game in hand, Whitby.
Yeah, I think so. And again, there's loads of really interesting narratives about this one. I mean, Whitby had lost 4 games in all competitions before that enormous derby win in midweek against Scarborough. So, so important for Whitby to get back to winning ways. And they did so in convincing fashion as well. But this weekend pits the best defence in the Northern Premier League this season against one of the most in-form attackers, and that's Jordan Buckley, who's been absolutely brilliant for Yellows in the past month or so. He now scored, in fact, in the past 5 games in all competitions for them and in 6 of the past 7. So he's very much the man to stop for what is a pretty mean Whitby defence. So, again, this one's poised beautifully. Whitby was, again, it's a theme of this show, one of the better away teams in the division as well. It's a really tight one to call this, and home advantage might not make the difference given how good Whitby are on the road. So I'm going to do a Mark Carruthers and say it's going to be a draw.
Radcliffe against Lancaster City. Radcliffe looking for new management, but that didn't stop him midweek, did it? A good result at Hyde United. Lancaster, good result midweek. They had a little wobble, didn't they? And then they've come back a couple of results later. They're knocking on the door of the playoffs. It tells us a lot about Lancaster, but also a lot about the league this season, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. They've shown really good resilience to pick up back-to-back 1-0 wins in the past week. In many ways, kind of returning to what we recognise Lancaster for, which is being nice and solid, but then still being able to get the job done at the other end of the field. So whilst kind of the maximum point haul will be a big relief and comfort to him, the fact that they've done that without conceding a goal also, and kind of just to reinforce that, I mean, Lancaster have conceded the most goals of teams in the top half of the table. So that's kind of been one of their problems this season, even though we've kind of focused on the impact of losing Sam Fishburne because he's been in such great form. They've actually been struggling to keep clean sheets at the other end of the field. And in fact, the 1-0 win at Hyde last week was the first time they've had a shutout on the road, which will stand them hopefully in good stead going to Radcliffe. So yeah, it does feel like they've turned a little bit of a corner. It might be too early to say whether Radcliffe have, but that was a real morale boosting win for them against Hyde in midweek, and it did end a run of 5 games in the Premier Division without a win for them. So 2 teams who are kind of hoping that there's green shoots in the past 7 days or so, and it'll be interesting to see which one of them capitalises on that this weekend.
You mentioned Hyde there. Hyde United have got a tough game on Saturday, haven't they? Travelling to Basford United.
If you're looking in from the outside, you might think that kind of Basford have lost a little bit of momentum, because they had that narrow defeat in the FA Cup against Banbury, and then they've lost two of the past three in the league, because they lost to Buxton on Tuesday and had lost to FC United at home 7 days early. But in between, they had that fantastic win against Salford. So it's been a really tough fortnight of fixtures, which is why if I was them, I wouldn't be too concerned about the fact that they've not picked up as many wins as they would like. And this will make some people wince slightly, but it's probably one of the teams you do want to be playing at the moment is Hyde. They're having a really tough spell. They've lost four of the past five in the league. There's a heavy turnover of players at the moment. People leaving, and Jim Gannon is working very, very hard to replace them. And they've lost key players as well, with Liam Hardy, Theo Bailey-Jones, among the two that have left in the past week to 10 days or so. I mean, Berkey said it on the show, and it is true. They are very much going to be a team in transition this season, but that transition is kind of only at its start at the moment. So they're one of the teams that you might look at and think, well, it's not a bad time to be playing them while they're doing an enormous amount of figuring out. So Basford will fancy getting back to winning ways this weekend, I think.
Stafford Rangers currently sitting 10th, 5 points from the playoffs. They've got Gainsborough Trinity this weekend. Gainsborough Trinity are hard to beat, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, they deserve enormous credit, because they're showing resilience now, which is going to be so reassuring to manager Tom Shaw. They've got 5 unbeaten in the league, and that's why they find themselves in 16th position. And also buoyed by finally getting off the mark away from home a couple of weeks ago when they beat Lancaster, which was a great win for them. So they have a little bit more confidence on the road now. They'll go to a Stafford team that's a little bit tricky to read at the moment. They're still in the top 10, but they've actually only won one of the past 6 league games. There'll be a little bit of frustration for Matt Hill that they've not been able to kind of kill teams off. There's been a lot of draws in their record this season. In fact, you look at the table, they've drawn as many games as they've won or lost. They're still nice and solid, though, so that will give them encouragement that they won't be slipping down the table. I think it's a really tough one to call this, and it wouldn't surprise me if it did play out a stalemate.
Let's talk about the team currently sitting 11th. You wanted to talk about them, Atherton Coles. They're hosting Michelover this weekend. Why did you want to talk about Atherton Coles, Simon, if I may?
I just think they've kind of gone under the radar a little bit. I mean, they were desperately, desperately unlucky for the way in which they were knocked out at Marine in the FA Cup. You know, we've talked about Marine many, many times and what a difficult opponent that is. And Atherton Coles pushed them right to the very last minute, and it was still now a contested penalty decision that ultimately separated those two teams. But Brad Cook will take enormous heart from how Coles have responded to that. Brilliant win last weekend against Matlock, for all the reasons that I've said earlier on. And then follow up with arguably, just as an impressive one to go away to Bamber Bridge and pick up maximum points there. So they've beaten two of the best teams in the division in the past week, as well as pushing one of the best teams in the Northern Premier League all the way in the FA Cup. And I just think the job that he's doing there probably deserves a little bit of love, a little bit of praise. And they're up against a team that's really struggling at the moment in Michelover. So Coles will fancy adding to this run this weekend. Just to touch very quickly on Michelover, well, it's very easy to identify what their problem is, and that's in front of goal. And a remarkable stat that I've pulled out on them: they failed to score in 8 of their 15 Northern Premier League games this season. So more than half of their games, they've not scored. No win in the past 9. They're one of the most out of sorts teams in the division, although there'll be a crumb of comfort from holding Stafford to a goalless draw in midweek. But Coles, big favourites, in good nick, and have momentum behind them.
With that 0-0 draw, it feels like it might be mirroring what's happened at Nantwich, because Nantwich have scored the same amount of goals, haven't they, as Michelover. But Nantwich, over the last couple of weeks or so, have started to get points on the board, and it's not necessarily goals that gets you points, it's good defence. And that's what Dave Cook's suddenly killed at Nantwich. Nantwich this weekend travelling to Ashton United.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've touched on it on the monthly show, that kind of a little bit of back to basics from them, just to try and scratch together a little bit of form. And there is progress there. It might not be at the speed that Dave wants, but there's definitely progress. Obviously, they'll take massive encouragement from the result last Saturday to win at Broaders Park. And in fact, they've been loads better away from Weaver Stadium this season for whatever reason. So they might not be too concerned about being on the road this weekend. And they're going to another team that's really struggling to find some form at the moment. Kind of a little bit of the same old story for Ashton in midweek when they went down to a narrow defeat against Witton, but that's kind of been the story of their season. They're not adrift, so and Michael Clegg is adamant that the performances are improving, that they are, albeit slowly, going in the right direction. But Jordan Hume not yet had the impact that they will have hoped. He's not managed to get off the mark yet. There is a little bit of movement of players coming in, players moving out. So again, there's still some figuring out going on at Ashton. So that makes that a really big game for them this weekend. It's a big game for both of these teams, even though we've got more high-profile games and both desperately still looking for a catalyst, really, to kickstart the season.
The next game we need to talk about, Simo. Scarborough Athletic taking on Witton Albion. We said last week, didn't we, that Witton Albion have started to show mid-table form. Congratulations, you're now mid-table.
Well, one of my favourite stats of the season that I shared on social media midweek, you know, for purely understandable reasons, that the kind of result against Matlock last month got loads of attention. Loads of people wanted to know what on earth was going on, and that was the right thing. Fast forward a few weeks, and in of all the teams, of all the matches played since that night, Witton would be second in the table behind Matlock. And that is one of my favourite stats of the season so far, in that just to show the kind of response that Carl McCauley's team has had to that result, which would have kind of kiboshed a lot of teams' season. So they've shown a lot of courage and a lot of resilience to recover from that. And that's what's propelled them into 14th position. They've won their past three games, so in their best run of form of the season. And that's mainly down to some brilliant form from Callum Saunders following his transfer from neighbours Nantwich. He's now up to 6 goals after scoring the winner against Ashton on Tuesday. Of course, he scored the winner against Whitby last weekend. So they head back up to Scarborough. I say back up because they've already been there once this season and knocked him out of the FA Cup, which before this little purple patch of the past 7 to 10 days was one of the highlights of Witton's season so far. So they go there full of confidence. Scarborough, kind of almost a diametric opposite because of that kind of crushing defeat they had against Whitby in midweek. And it was a demoralising defeat as well to go down 3-0. So easy team sort of for John O'Green in this weekend. They've got to find a way of responding to that. They'd actually done all right in the couple of weeks going into that game. So it was a big setback for them. And it's all about the response this weekend. If he gets one, then maybe they'll get something from this weekend. But it wouldn't shock me if Witton carry on their run.
And finally,
yes,
FC United against Grantham Town. What do you want to ask me?
well, actually, where have the goals gone? Yeah, that was the thing. FC United, yes, the headline is they've lost 3 of the past 4. They've actually failed to score in any of those games as well, which is very unlike FC United. So I suppose, to cue this up, what you do want is a home game against the division's worst defence this weekend. Grantham knocking on for 40 goals conceded. I don't think they've kept a clean sheet this season. So FC United, if they want to kind of get out of this funk in front of goal, this is a perfect opportunity to do it. And let's see if that is what the outcome is this weekend. And Grantham, read an interesting interview with their manager, Carlton Palmer, before we came on air today. You know, they had that kind of really eye-catching win, didn't they, at Wincham Park a couple of weeks ago. And then people wondered whether that might be the catalyst for their season. He's been very honest in his latest interview with the Grantham Journal, kind of saying he never felt that would kind of be the turning point of their season. He knows it's going to be Operation Survival for them. He knows it's going to be a really difficult season with a very young side. And that's kind of been backed up by their results since, because they've lost all three games since then and have been shipping goals, although they were a little bit unlucky to go down 3-1 to Matlock in midweek, something that Paul Phillips admitted afterwards, that maybe 3-1 was a touch flattering for Matlock in the end. But yeah, I don't like the phrase must win, because I don't think we're in that territory, but it would be a big lift for FC to kind of get back to scoring and get back to picking up some wins, wouldn't it, this weekend?
Well, I'm assuming you're off to you're going to be watching Witton against Scarborough this weekend. Are you going to the Flamingo Land Stadium?
Do you know I'm not, actually? Oh. But it's not because I'm doing a Berkey. It's actually my birthday this weekend, so I'm having a little breather from the footy before getting back on the Togger train next week. So that's the reason that I won't actually be on duty, but I'll be back on NPL duty a week on Saturday when FC United come over to Northwich.
Absolutely. Well, a big happy birthday from all the listeners. and all the team, the other pundits who make up the MPL show committee. Big happy birthday! I'll get you a balloon next week. I'll bring it along to Winsham Park, and have a lovely birthday weekend, and catch up very soon.
Ace, thank you. Cheers.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us this week. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.